Hello, Poke fans. Welcome to the Same Type Attack Bonus Podcast, or Stabcast for short, your twice-monthly look into the deeper worlds of Pokemon. I'm your host, Trainer Spike, and with me, as always, are my fellow trainers Slagkick,
Mudkip,
and Sulker.
Stop!
Today is May 27th, 2017, and this is Stabcast Episode 18, Poke Memes. Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of our venture into the deeper worlds of Pokemon. This week, Trainer Slagkick is going to be talking about some of our favorite Pokemon-related memes. But first, let's talk about our Poke Weeks. Sulker, you go first.
Exciting, exciting, fun times as always with me. Let's see, this week I played a lot of Pogo. When I go to the dog park, so
ooh.
Pogo to the dog park.
Doggo Pogo.
Been taking advantage of that rock type thing that I think was happening, so I got a couple of Kabuto and Omanyte that way. That was cool or whatever. Let's see. Oh, yeah, since the last episode, I guess I also got a bunch of cute plushies from someone. So that's an Arcanine, a Zygarde, and a Mudkip.
Oh, they sound like cuties.
Well, you bought them for me, so you would know. Other than that, I guess I also got a box of TCG cards for Guardians Rising. Thanks again. And then I watched the special anime thing that we talked about, and yeah, that's where I am.
Excellent, excellent. Slaggy?
So my PokeWeek's been a little light, but I did partake in Magikarp Jump, which we'll talk about a little bit in our Muse, our Poke News. It's silly. I don't know if I'm really going to stick with it, but, you know, I definitely felt obligated to check it out because it's a new Pokemon mobile social game.
And it features Magikarp, who is traditionally at least one of my favorites.
And a little bit of a meme himself.
Indeed. As for my Poke Week, it has been a light one for me. I've been mostly focusing on other games this week, but I did try out the Magikarp game. I really have enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun. Magikarp Jump, you know, I mean, it's silly, but I don't know, it's really cute. It has a ton of personality.
It is very cute.
With all that having been said, let's get on to our Poke News, or Muse. Sulker, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah. Yokohama overflows with 1,500 Pokemon in the 2017 Pikachu outbreak.
What?
So the Pokemon Company and the city of Yokohama are teaming up once again for the Pikachu outbreak, and this time the annual event will feature some 1,500 costumed Pikachus on the march.
What?
This is a marked increase of 50% from last year. The event entitled Pikachu Dake Janai Pikachu Dai Tairo Haisei Chu, not just Pikachu, the Pikachu Outbreak Chu, will take over the Minato Mirai District of Yokohama City in the Kanagawa Prefecture from August 9th through the 15th of this year. The Pikachu outbreak will include stage shows, a carnival-themed parade featuring some 100 costumed Pikachu on the march, and a water-themed soaking wet splash show, which proved popular during the outbreak last year. The whole Minato Mirai District, or area, I should say, including the sky and sea, will be decorated with Pikachu, so tourists will have lots of opportunities during this time. This event sounds really friggin' adorable. I'm kind of jelly that I don't get to be there.
We went to Japan at the wrong time.
Yeah, you could say I'm jelly donuts over this one.
Ah! I just hope none of those Pikachu deflate.
What?
I hope none of the Pikachu deflate. Yeah.
Okay, well referenced. I also have a very small piece of news here, but one that's very exciting. Niantic was the recipient of several Webby Awards this year for its global hit Pokemon Go, and on hand to accept the award was their global marketing lead, Achit Bhagavara, and something that was really cool. You know, traditionally, when people win Webbies, they keep their acceptance speeches to 5 words. It's practically a meme in that subculture. And his 5 words were, "This summer will be legendary," which has led many people to speculate that this summer we are finally going to see the Generation 1 legendary Pokies in Poke Go. What do you guys think of that?
Legendary? Ha! More like leg and dairy.
I'm excited, I guess. Like, I think this is something they probably should have pushed out last year during the, like, first kind of quarters of the game. Just because, I don't know, people don't seem to really be as invested in Pokemon Go as they once were. I'm happy that they're winning awards, but I don't know that this will bring back the volume they were hoping for.
All right. Slaggy, I think you were going to take this next one.
Yeah, so as alluded to earlier, Magikarp Jump is now available in North America and other regions around the world on iTunes and Google Play, and it is free to play. There are microtransactions available, and basically you raise a Magikarp, battle it in jump battles to see who can jump the highest. And yeah, I mean, I think for me, just to touch base on that, I think the reason why I don't know if I'll be really spending a lot of time with it is that, like, I thought you would be, like, tapping to make your Magikarp jump. Like, a lot of it's kind of just automated. It's kind of like a more of a virtual pet Magikarp, which is cute in its own way.
Well, so it is like a virtual pet Magikarp, but the way, like, the height that your Magikarp is going to jump is really based on, like, how fast you can raise your JP. So, like, getting, like, good foods and doing lots of trainings.
I've already maxed out one Magikarp.
Okay, but my point is then, like, I don't know, there's a game to it. It's not just, like, virtual petty.
I guess I just imagine it more to be like a, I don't know, almost like a Flappy Bird, but a splashy carp.
No. I'm going to jump in here because I specifically didn't talk about Magikarp Jump during my Poke Week just because I knew this was going to be a topic here. I freaking love this game. I think it's a lot of fun. A lot of my friends are playing it and, like, sending each other screenshots or, like, sharing so that they can get, like, extra diamonds or coins or what have you. I'm on my third generation of Magikarps. My first Magikarp was a standard, my second was a calico pattern, and now my third, and the one that I hope to finish the quick league with, is golden.
Ooh!
Get it.
So, I mean, there's a lot to, like, kind of do in this game, like, without actually doing anything. You can unlock different helper pokies, like Pikachu, Rowlet, Litten,
yeah, I have
Popplio.
A Pikachu.
Yeah, I've got Pikachu, and one of my friends, Seeps, he just got a Charizard today.
Oh my gosh.
So, like, there's a lot going on in the game. Yeah, it's just kind of like a fun little kill time game, but it is mindlessly addictive, and I don't know that I'm going to stop for a while.
I'm glad you're enjoying it, then.
Excellent. And I believe you actually also have the next news story.
Yes, I do. So the Como O GX box is coming out in September. A new Como O GX box will be released both in America and Europe on September 15th. Each box will come with a Como O GX promo, a jumbo version, 4 booster packs, and a PTCGO code card. Como O is confirmed to be a reprint of the one from the Guardians Rising, but will likely feature alternative artwork. This is the second TCG product to be releasing in the fall, the first obviously being the Charizard GX Premium Collection. If a Diamond and Pearl remake is coming, there's no sign of it in the TCG yet.
Cool. I like Como. I think that he's got a really cool design, and it's too bad he was only available so late in the game, really.
Yeah, I just wish that his hair was a little different, so it looked like a Como O comb-over.
Oh, no, she better don't. Como O, no, she better don't.
So in other Pokego news, we have word here that Niantic has come up with a rather novel way to punish people who are cheating. Rather than, you know, banning people outright or locking up their app, people who are believed to be cheating and violating the terms of service are unable to see anything but the most common of Pokemon.
So, like what?
Pretty much you're going to just see all Pidgeys, Rattatas, and Zubats.
Oh, so instead of banning people, they're just sending them straight to hell?
Pretty much. You know, this people who are ending up in this quote-unquote shadow banned state, largely people who are using apps like Pokevision. However, it does need to be said, there are some people who claim that they have been shadow banned without using any kind of app like that.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we will certainly be paying more attention to this story as it develops, but for the moment, it sounds like a very novel way to deal with cheaters. What do you guys think about this?
I mean, if you go and cheat, you might as well get some kind of punishment, and they're not punishing you in the way that, like, deletes your account or stops you from playing the game. They're just giving you what you deserve. Trash.
Well, I just hope that, at least if you can catch a Rattata, that it's in the top percentage of Rattata.
It is not.
Right? It should be, like, the worst possible EVs.
All right, so to wrap us up with our Poke News, our Muse this week, we have the Wall Street Journal, which was reporting on Nintendo, and it was actually their article article was kind of specifically focused on the fact that a Zelda game is coming to smartphones or app or something. But what is notable for us here on Stabcast is that Pokemon Company is planning a new card game app for smartphones. So we don't really know other details. I mean, we don't know if this is going to be a version of the Pokemon trading card game online app that's, you know, specifically meant for smartphones.
Well, and you know, that app is unusable on smartphones.
Right.
So that is my thought, is that it's probably going to be like that same service, but a client for your phone, which I think is what it really needs to like blow up.
Oh, it had better be, because I will be salty as hell if it does not include all of the codes that I've already put onto that stupid thing that I can only access through my iPad or on PC.
Yeah, it would make a lot of sense to really try to push this out more.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, with all of this having been said, I believe it is time for our discussion. Slaggy, as we noted, you are going to be handling this week, so I pass the mic to you.
Yeah, so this week I thought it would be fun to just keep things a little bit lighter and look at some of our favorite Poke memes that have come up over the year. And, you know, these have come from various sources. Some have been just things that have been kind of, that fans have latched onto directly from the games or the show. Others have definitely come up through more traditional meme memes, like, you know, message boards and all of that. I'm trying more or less to keep these kind of in chronological order, but, you know, memes are kind of funny in the way that, you know, they might start out a little slow and then really explode later on. So, that being said, I thought I would start out with a very definitely favorite one that I know that we all enjoy here. That, of course, is, I like shorts. They're comfy and easy to wear. So, this, of course, was one of the youngsters. I believe that was Youngster Joey. Although, no, actually, I think Youngster Joey was actually the top percentage of Rattata, who we'll talk about in a bit.
Isn't he both?
He might be. I don't know, but, basically,
he's bi-memeable.
Basically, this was like, I think it was right above the Cerulean City area, if I'm not mistaken. So pretty early on in the game, there's this trainer, a youngster, possibly Youngster Joey, who says, "I like shorts, they're comfy and easy to wear." It's just, it's such a non sequitur that I think that those of us playing at the time were like, what? And, you know, like, memes as we know them really didn't exist in I would say, quite in the same way back in the late 90s that we think of them today. But I definitely remember with my friends who were playing, like, we would laugh about it. What about you guys? Did you remember finding humor in this and kind of having it be a joke with your Poke friends before really the internet kind of was the size and scope that it was today?
Definitely yes for me. We used to joke about this all the time at our Pokemon club in high school, way before the internet was like a thing everyone had in their home, because I'm old. What about you, Sulker?
Nah, my friends didn't care about this. Like, I mean, I think it's funny. I thought it was weird back then, but nobody really talked about it in my friend group of people that was playing at the time.
Huh, interesting. Next is from the 4Kids dub in an early episode of, actually, this is kind of, you know, done a lot. Like, so one of the memes about the early 4Kids dub of the anime is that pretty much anything Japanese, and this is not just exclusive to Pokemon, Sailor Moon did it too, but anything that
literally
was, like,
every anime that was ever aired on American TV before 2007 did,
yeah,
this.
Pretty much. Like, kind of, like, westernized things, and sometimes going to the length of where, like, Japanese food would be covered up with, like, a Photoshop of a sandwich.
Like, but clip art level Photoshop, let's be clear.
Right, so this, of course, is, these jelly donuts are great. Jelly-filled donuts are my favorite, which is a line from Brock.
Oh, my God.
But the thing is that clearly he's holding onigiri, which are rice balls, of course. And, like, I mean, maybe little kids didn't know, but, I mean, I didn't have a lot of Japanese food back then, and I knew that they were onigiri. So it's like, really?
This is probably my least favorite meme, like, of all memes ever. I hate this, because even now in 2017, I get onigiri a lot. I'm very fortunate that there are two really great onigiri cafes near my office in San Francisco, and like anytime I post about them on social media,
everyone's like, these donuts are great. Oh, nothing beats a jelly filled donut.
Those jelly donuts look so good. And I'm like, oh my God. So now I just don't tweet or anything when I have really great onigiri because I don't want to deal with jelly donuts.
When you say everybody, do you just mean Slackick?
Yeah, because I'm definitely guilty of that. And now I feel really guilty.
You should. You should also feel bad about yourself, but that's unrelated. I'm just going to jump in and say that my friends definitely joked about this particular meme in high school because old. And yeah, so even today, like, this brings me fond memories of laughing at the weirdness of 4Kids.
Oh, yeah.
And no tea, no shade, Slackick. Don't worry, I'm not, like, mad at you or nothing. I was teasing.
Well, I'll cheer you up by taking you to get some jelly donuts after this.
Well, and I'm just hateful, so I like saying mean things to you.
Okay, wait, are we talking about onigiri or actual jelly donuts? Because I could go either way.
Both.
All right.
All right, next is perhaps one of the most famous, I Heard You Like Mudkips. This started out shortly after the release of Ruby and Sapphire. It is believed to have originated on DeviantArt, of all places, in early 2005, part of the Mudkip Club DeviantArt group, and someone posting, "So I heard you love Mudkips." And then it went kind of more viral in the, you know, 10 years ago way through 4chan, and then made its way to, like, Fark, You're the Man Now, Dog. And so Mudkips with a Z, and just Mudkip himself has really become kind of the face of Poke memes, I think, really. Like, this was, you know, back in kind of the golden age of memes, and, you know, definitely one of the first real big Poke memes that I remember. What about you guys?
I remember it. I was very tangential on the internet, I guess, when this was happening. I wasn't part of, like, meme culture. You know, that youthful meme culture.
Youths.
Millennials. Avocado toast. I don't know. It was funny. It just was not something that I ever really saw too much of in my life, unfortch. How about you, Spike?
Yeah, this one, I was familiar with it online, but a lot of my, like, IRL friends had no idea about it. So I'm really happy that now I can reference it with you guys. I think that's really cool. I actually like this meme a lot because Mudkip is so cute.
Yeah, Mudkip's actually a really good starter.
Yeah, I agree. Mudkip is awesome. It sucks he's not taken seriously because people heard you liked him.
But just because I like him doesn't mean he's bad.
You know, the funny thing is I feel like in our group of friends in this kind of era, that Bidoof was more of a meme. And I have seen Bidoof being kind of laughed at, but I just remember Bidoof definitely being the LOLs for us more than Mudkip, because Mudkip actually is useful, like you said.
So's Bidoof. How dare you?
Bidoof, yeah, Bidoof's useful as an HM slave. All right, next I want to talk about the Pokemon Kid. This is the video of a cute little kid from about 2006, 2007 or so, who was filmed in his bedroom with a bunch of Pokemon merchandise from the Ruby and Sapphire area, singing his own lyrics to the Pokemon theme, like the karaoke version. So he was making up his own words about Ruby and Sapphire. He had a long blonde wig, or that might have been his real hair, playing a Pokemon guitar. And this, I remember being first kind of coming on E-Bomb's World. And then, you know, of course, YouTube shortly after that. But it actually got to the point where the Carson Daly Show, whatever one that is, he had some guy on who he claimed was the Pokemon Kid, but it wasn't actually. It was just meant for LOLs. But, like, that's how big that one got. Do you guys remember the Pokemon Kid?
Not at all.
No, this is actually, this might be the first time I'm seeing this one.
Oh, wow, yeah. So, it was just one of those things that, you know, back when people didn't think that the videos they would put online, they had, you know, the idea of a video going viral was not really something that we knew about. So, yeah, definitely, I think it's cute because it really captures the, you know, the Ruby Sapphire era, which, you know, kind of, not really, I don't feel, until Alpha Sapphire Omega Ruby, really got a lot of love. So he's got, like, Mudkips and Treecko's and Torchic plushies, and it's really cute. I mean, I think there's a Pokemon Kid living inside of all of us.
Well, that's only because I ate that small child once.
Oh, dear.
I mean, I eat things so that he can, you know, continue to live.
Jeez, how hungry were you?
Not very.
The next one comes around the same era, around 2006, with the rise of the lolcat. Of course, lolcats are one of the, again, golden oldies of memes on the internet, and, you know, still kind of have had a huge effect today. This, of course, is my Pokemans. Let me show you them. It is a picture of two cats done in kind of one of those motivational poster styles where they are holding a Game Boy Advance. I don't even think that it's clearly not even a Pokemon cartridge in there, but the cat has a crazy look on his face and he says, "Let me show you my Pokemans." And then it says, "Pokemon, let me show you them."
Okay, so this one I do recall because I had a hail of people saying, "My Pokemans, let me show you them." This actually came up back a couple years ago too in my workspace.
Oh, wow.
I'm just like, is that like a Yu-Gi-Oh game?
Can't tell what the cart is, honestly.
I love this meme though because I love those kitties so much.
Yeah, and I mean, I definitely remember this being one of my favorite lolcats because Pokemon. Next is one that I know you guys have something to say about. So this actually is kind of a couple of memes combined into one. So this is, of course, Who's That Pokemon? So, you know, it originated from the Who's That Pokemon bumpers in the Pokemon anime. You all are probably thinking about a particular one that we love to reference all the time. But the first memes of this popped up on You're the Man Now, Dog around 2004, which instead of a Pokemon, there was a silhouette of a penis. So
that's a penis.
That's a penis.
That's a penis. But of course, our favorite one is the 2007 YouTube video of Who's That Pokemon? It's the silhouette of coughing, and the kid says, "Pikachu." And then it says, "It's coughing." He's like, "Damn it."
I believe the word you're looking for is "Fuck."
Well, that's the way that we.
Don't you dare cut off my mic like that ever again.
But when I was watching it a couple days ago, it's actually, he's like, "Damn it." So it's funny how, you know, memes permutate and stuff, definitely. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely like you said, I mean, we reference that all the time. And just basically to the point where anytime there's a Who's That Pokemon, we're like, it's Pikachu. Do you guys have anything to add about that?
I think I said my piece.
Yeah, that's actually not my favorite version of this meme, Slagkick.
Oh, it's your favorite version of it.
So mine is actually the one where he does say fuck.
Who's That Pokemon?
It's Pikachu!
It's Flareon!
Fuck!
Oh, see, now that's a different one, yeah. So I guess I was just, I was forgetting that that one was a Clefairy one, but yeah, the original one was a coughing.
You're
he was
a
like,
Clefairy
damn it.
One.
So that meme has lived on. To
yeah,
my delight.
It really has.
Now, next we're coming up with Youngster Joey. The Youngster Joey meme about, it has to do with the Rattata, which he says is in the top percentage of Rattatas, and then he'll call you on your Pokecaller or whatever it was called. Pokegear, sorry. And he'll keep wanting you to battle his Rattata. So this actually, I mean, because I definitely remember it from original Gold and Silver, but looking back on, you know, the history of how the meme proliferated, it actually really kind of took off with the release of Heart Gold and Soul Silver. So, you know, there were Facebook fan pages for Youngster Joey in, like, 2010, and 2010 was really a big year for Youngster Joey. So it's interesting that it didn't really happen until 10 years later after his original appearance.
He is in the top percentage over Rattatas.
How do you feel about Youngster Joey and his top percentage Rattata sulker?
I mean, you know, like, he's always been there, and he's just kind of annoying, but, you know, he's a cool kid or whatever, and, like, so my favorite part of this meme is kind of, like, a sub-meme. Like, over on the Mythical Mazes and Magikarps, or whatever they called the second season, they had a Youngster Joseph, who also had a Rattata that was definitely in the top 10% of Rattata.
That's amazing.
So that's kind of how I relate to this meme and what my favorite part of it is.
And I bet Youngster Joey does like shorts. Those youngsters often do.
Indeed.
The next one I want to talk about is one that I definitely, I mean, this could be my faulty memory, but I feel like I definitely remember hearing about this before it really took off as a meme. And this is Pokemon Vietnamese Crystal, which was a bootlegged version of Pokemon Crystal that came out around 2001. Like, I definitely feel like I remember seeing screen caps of this, like, much earlier than 2010, but in 2010-2011, there was an Extra Life marathon that someone was doing, and they were playing the bootleg version of Pokemon Crystal from Vietnam, although it seems like it was translated from a Chinese bootleg, and then that was translated from the Japanese version or something. We don't really know the real history, but the memes...
It's like a machine translation on top of a machine translation,
right.
Basically.
The memes come from the very bad translation. For example, welcome, it's Elf's World. Elf's World. So Pokemon are translated as Elf. And of course, one of the biggest ones is Volcano Bake Meat, which is something that was cooking in an oven at your house at the very beginning of the game, to the point where people did, like, epic mealtime things about how to make Volcano Bake Meat. Do you guys remember Pokemon Vietnamese Crystal, like, earlier than when, or, I mean, really, did this bleep on your radar at all?
I remember, Elf's World. I heard that one. What about you, Sulker?
I am very disgusted with the Trashy Man. In spite of the monster and the coach, only Trashy, I will beat down them all. No, I don't remember this meme. I don't even know her.
This one is another one where it's really interesting to, you know, have been Poke fans when it wasn't really cool to be a Poke fan. I'd say these days it's not as shameful of a secret to be a Poke fan as it maybe would have been back in the day. And this is from the book Come Out Squirtle, specifically the image of him under a rainbow saying, "Wow, I'm so glad I came out." And apparently this...
You gay.
This meme went viral on Reddit in 2011. The thing is, I remember Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio posting this on people's MySpaces, like, way before then.
Yeah, absolutely. That guy was way ahead of the curve here.
Yeah, so, I mean, I know that, at least for us, that in our gay gamer friends, like, we were definitely referencing this on LiveJournal and on MySpace well before, you know, this actually went viral. So it's just kind of funny how I think sometimes our experiences with these things, you know, predate the memification of it. How about you, Sulker?
Well, I was going to say that back when the book released, Dark Shifter actually had it in his home, and that we all started cackling about it, and, like, even to this day, like, I know that I can always go find him and just be like, "Come out, Squirtle," and he'll just be like, "I'm glad I came out." So I don't know, friendly memories, I like it. It's a good, wholesome gay meme.
Yeah, and I think it's really unique in being, in a lot of ways, a very queer-specific meme, you know, at least for us. I think that, you know, the internet at large kind of hopped on it much later, but for us, you know, it was
LOL
definitely...
LOL gay.
It was definitely, you know, a meme that was very much belonged to us. Next, I want to talk about Hoenn Confirmed. This is in the vein of things like Half-Life 3 Confirmed. It was coming up on 4chan's Pokemon board around 2012. And people just, like, started making fun of people who were like, "Oh, well, there's all these clues and hints being dropped about Hoenn remakes." And then it kind of, the next year, like, actually got some credibility because there were actual hints in X and Y that Hoenn remakes were coming. And then, you know, Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire came out in 2014, so Hoenn was confirmed. So it kind of was a meme that came full circle. Some of the examples are that, like, May and Max have the letters X and Y in them, so Hoenn confirmed. Or the shape of Kalos looks like a Kyogre, Hoenn confirmed. I just remember hearing Hoenn confirmed a lot. I don't remember, like, you know, particularly being engaged with the meme. What about you, Sulker?
Well, you know, I don't know if this is actually part of the meme, but did you see that in Sun Moon there are actually hints to a remake for Red?
Yeah. I mean, right down to the fact that at the end of the game, Lily talks about going back, right?
Yeah. Kanto confirmed.
Kanto confirmed.
Right. And then the mysterious stuff that happens in the desert with fossils and all of that business. Oh, my goodness. Not fossils, Lunarok and...
You've been memed.
Yeah. We're being facetious. Yeah.
But there are Solrock and Lunatone hidden goodies.
I mean, there are. You're not wrong, but...
Hoenn confirmed.
If anything,
Kanto confirmed.
Yes, we are familiar with Hoenn confirmed.
Alola confirmed.
If anything, I think people are kind of doing Diamond Pearl confirmed these days. Because
DP confirmed.
I double DP confirmed.
Oh, dear. Well, next we have something that came up in 2014 and that we've definitely talked about on the show, and that's Twitch Plays Pokemon. Twitch Plays Pokemon,
yes,
itself isn't really a meme, but it's definitely had its little in-jokes that have reached meme status. This, of course, includes the Helix fossil being, like, worshipped as Lord Helix, the Ammonite. things about, like, the Eevee and about how to evolve it. And it ended up evolving into a Flareon instead of a Vaporeon like they wanted, right? And so then they were there's the Lapras and, like, just people, like, basically messing around with Twitch Plays Pokemon and, you know, making it so that you basically couldn't get shit done. To the point where, you know, they had the anarchy and democracy modes, and that basically implemented some chaos. And then, of course, Bloody Sunday, where a bunch of Pokemon accidentally got released, and almost the Pidgeot, which was kind of like a bird god in a way, was almost released, and it was a very scary day. And then, guys, we need to beat Misty, because apparently people joining in the stream later, they would say, like, oh, you know, there's a secret hack where you can battle Misty again. So it definitely, Twitch Plays Pokemon has really become kind of its own culture itself, and to the point where, you know, they're doing it yearly at this point. We talked about the Chatot Yellow. So I really like this, because it's a really, you know, the Twitch community is kind of just really unique with the way that gamers interact with each other. And so I really have enjoyed seeing how, you know, this has kind of become its own Pokemon subculture, really. What about you, Spike?
No, I actually love Twitch Plays Pokemon. I think I mentioned that when we talked a little bit about the Chatot one. And I love specifically the memes that come out of this. Like, that to me is my favorite part of the Twitch Plays, particularly Lord Helix. Sulker, I'd like to hear from you. What do you think of Twitch Plays Pokemon?
I mean, I didn't really pay attention to the memes about it, and I didn't really pay too much attention to it at the time, because I think I was really invested in playing XY at the time. So, like, I think my time was spent on that versus this meme world. But, I mean, looking back on it now, I'm always happy to, like, find out little things, like, what was, like, all the things that Slidekick just said that I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
So, memes continue to perpetuate.
All right, we're coming to a close pretty soon here. A couple more recent ones that are just some fun ones that I like to wrap up with. Next, I'd like to talk about the 2015 YouTube video, We Could Have Caught Them All. This, of course, is...
Oh, God, that's not what I was asking for. Oh, God, why?
This, of course, is the mashup of Rolling in the Deep by Adele with the Pokemon theme song, complete with Adele's face photoshopped onto, like, every Pokemon in there. I love this meme. You know, I just love the attention.
How have you never seen this before?
Hold up. This could be a great, like, reactions audio.
I can't believe I swear I linked that to you like 2 years ago, but
you linked me all kinds of stuff.
Now, don't you wish you'd clicked it back then?
Yes,
you could have had it.
Psychic, but look at this screenshot. It's
yeah,
you know,
the Adele faces on the Pokemon are just amazing. So
we
Sulker,
could have caught them all.
So Sulker, you were as surprised as I was that Trainer Spike hadn't seen him. How do you feel about this meme?
Disappointed. I feel disappointed that he has not seen this until today. But also blessed, #blessed, that I got to see his reactions in lifetime, and the way that he's just staring at Adele Nearth right now is kind of everything I need. When this came out, me and my friends were cackling about it back in group chats in the day, which was not that long ago, actually. Oh god, time flows endlessly. But yeah, like, I love this. It's still a wonderful favorite of mine.
Excellent. You know what else flows? Too much water. So,
oh, I know this one.
This is another one that's a lot of fun. This is from 2014, so very recent. This is from the Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire IGN review. They said that the game got 7.8, and one of their negatives is that there was too much water.
Hey, so, you can't spell ignorant without IGN.
You know it. So, you know, this definitely was a meme unto itself, but then it got self-referential, because in Pokemon Sun and Moon, when you use the the photo mode, I can't remember what exactly it's called, in the Rotom Pokédex. If you take pictures of, like, ocean areas or water areas, one of the comments that you can get is 7.8 out of 10, too much water, which I just, I love it because Nintendo, or at least, you know, Nintendo of America, made the point of referencing it. So I just, I love that it got to that point.
Absolutely. And this is one I still see come up a lot. Every time a new Pokemon game comes up, everyone talks about too much water now.
And the thing is that Alola arguably had too much water, but I guess it didn't have, like, a lot of water roots necessarily in the same way that, you know, you have to, like, swim on your Lapras or whatever, so.
That's what I say about Misty's gym, though. Too much water.
Yeah. And to wrap it up, I want to talk about Pokemon Sun and Moon Miku Miku Dance videos. So, for those who aren't familiar, Miku Miku Dance is a program that allows you to make music videos or, you know, videos of originally the Vocaloids, like Miku, dancing, but people have rigged up all types of different character models and used it to make dancing videos. And this actually predates Sun and Moon, but I feel like Sun and Moon is really where the meme started to take off, because we started to see, like, Professor Kukui and Guzma dancing to Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. There was a great one with all of the Team Skull guys from Po-Town, including Guzma, dancing to Thriller by Michael Jackson, and just, like, all sorts of just silly ones with the Sun and Moon characters dancing.
Is this a thing that you guys can make happen? Because I want to take this idea and apply it to the Q-Ranger theme song. Or, no, the ending song.
With, like, Pokemon models?
Q-Q-Tama-Tama-Tama-Q.
Yeah, 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 exactly that. I want...
Oh, yeah. I mean, Miku Miku Dance, I
like,
think
about,
pretty...
like, a Machamp, like, doing champs bits, like, with the thrusties.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Miku Miku Dance is available freely or easily in the models you can find on, like, DeviantArt and different places. So it sounds like we might be venturing into Pokememe territory of our own.
Yes!
Before I wrap this up, are there any Pokememes that I have not mentioned here that you feel really deserve to be shouted out?
I think you hit all the big ones for me, Sulker.
Yeah, you even got some ones I didn't know about until today.
Excellent. Well, I hope that those of you out there in Poke Radio Land enjoyed. And we'll hear from a couple of y'all in our link cables in a little bit. But first, it's time to strike back with an anime discussion.
All right. Today, we're going to be talking about Pokemon the first movie, Mewtwo Strikes Back. We don't typically talk about movies in this phase, but, you know, we had discussed briefly, I think, the difficulties in getting fan-subbed episodes of Pokemon Sun and Moon right now. We are going to keep trying, and hopefully those episodes will become available again, at which point we will happily pick this baton back up. Until then, we're going
to
be discussing...
I think you mean we'll baton pass it to one another and then get back
well up. Done.
I hate you.
Teehee.
For now, though, expect to hear us talking about some of the older movies and older anime episodes. So, Pokemon the first movie, in case you haven't seen it, is basically an origin movie for Mewtwo. We get to see his creation by a bunch of scientists who have the fossilized eyelash of Mew. Mewtwo awakens, but, like, rather than being, like, most Pokemon only saying his name, he's basically, like, a dude who has, like, a voice and can talk and has, like, all these really, like, super deep edgelord thoughts and psychic powers.
Psychic powers?
Yeah, yeah. He basically destroys a bunch of stuff and then decides that, you know, he doesn't really want to be, like, a weapon or whatever, and so rather than be a weapon, he's gonna destroy humanity, which still sounds like being a weapon to me, but plot?
Wait, rewind, because he was trying to get away from Giovanni's lifestyle and basically strike back. The title of the movie. I love it when they say the title of the movie and the thing. So, like, yeah, he was striking back at, like, humanity for torturing him and stuff.
Yeah, so he was like, I don't want to be a weapon, so I'm going to kill everything.
Yeah, by using other weapons. But
okay.
that comes up further in the summary, I guess.
So, meanwhile, we get to see, you know, Ash and Misty and Brock. They're invited to go to New Island, which is a pretty original name, and battle the world's greatest Pokemon master. But, you know, when they get there, they're picked up by Team Rocket, who are disguised as Vikings. For reasons I still don't fully understand even today.
Because they wanted Stroop waffles?
Maybe, you know, maybe. But they actually do all make it to New Island together. And it seems like a really nice place. But there's like a Nurse Joy who's acting really weird. And it's kind of a whole segment of the film that like you watch it and it's like, am I on too many drugs? Am I not on enough drugs? Like,
right?
What it is was happening?
Almost,
like,
we almost got some shades of that with the Malamar brainwashing.
Wait. Did you guys watch the same movie I watched? Because,
yeah.
Like, I mean,
I've seen this movie dozens of times. Like, I've definitely seen this movie more than 24 times.
Yeah, but I mean, like, in the, like, the little opening movies, yeah, I'd be like, what kind of drugs do I need to watch this? But this one just seemed pretty straight.
Oh, we're going to talk about Pikachu's Vacation.
Okay, well, like, that's fine and all, but, like, what part specifically made you think that there needed to be drug usage? I mean, in our lives.
No. Honestly, for me, I think a big part of it is, you know, like, the brainwashed Nurse Joy is, like, really creepy. I'm not saying it's, like, nonsensical or whatever. It's just, like, it's kind of over the top and edgelordy for Pokemon.
Yeah, and, like, Mewtwo with his deep thoughts.
Yeah. Mewtwo monologuing for 20 minutes about what is a man? Like, he's one step removed from the PlayStation 1 opening of Symphony of the Night over here. Ben Carson's off somewhere quoting him on it.
God, I hope so.
That's actually something meme-y we didn't discuss. The memification of various elements of Pokemon the first movie. Seeing stuff like the weird...
Oh, that was actually Pokemon the second movie, The Power of One, where he quoted it in his campaign, like, when he was giving up his campaign for president.
Wow. I know recently there was in the news a high school that used a Mewtwo quote on, like, one of their, like, doorway, like, entranceway murals. So, I don't know. Look, TLDR, basically, Mewtwo wants to kill all humanity and leave just the Pokemon alive. Ash eventually is confronting him, like, no, I love all Pokemon. I'm awesome. Ash ends up getting killed, but it's okay because apparently the tears of Pokemon are magic and can bring humans back to life. It's pretty magical. A Meowth at one point gets into a fight with another Meowth, which is sad and cute. That scene
It's our Meowth, right? Well, not our Meowth, but the Meowth.
The Team Rocket Meowth, yeah. You know, actually, I have to say that sequence where the Pokemon are fighting themselves and there's like a voiceover about like, when Pokemon fight Pokemon, that's a battle nobody wins.
Whoa,
I'm like, that's literally the existence of this entire world.
Whoa, that wasn't a voiceover though. That was like, so I have feelings on this part of the movie. Just real quick, I'm going to jump in, derail your synopsis. So I watched it this morning.
She is getting mad.
So, like, I watched it this morning, and, like, I didn't, like, this has been the first time I watched it since the first time it released in theaters, like, back in 1990,
okay.
Whatever.
Okay,
2000?
We just found the difference here. I have watched this movie probably twice a year since then, so for me, it is a light, fun, and silly thing that I totally make fun of when watching.
Okay, but that's
fine. It sounds
fine.
Like, for you, you had a serious emotional moment watching, like, the sad, like, Bulbasaur's beat each other up.
No. If you let me.
Okay.
I'm gonna let you finish.
The mic is yours.
Okay, but like the saw. That piece we were talking about, where they're just having like the voiceovers of like Pokemon aren't supposed to fight. The thing that pissed me off about this sequence was the effing awful song about brother, brother, we should if I want another stupid shit like
oh, yeah,
that.
Yeah, wasn't it Blessed Union of Souls?
I think that might be it. But because I did not remember that, and it made me so angry. That after I finished watching the movie, I went and found the Japanese version, fast forwarded to that part, and it was like the standard Pokemon battle theme music, and then like horrified commentary by people. So I just wanted to comment on how upsetting that awful song was, how the scoring in this movie like upset me. You could talk about the rest of it. I'm done. She's leaving.
I feel like that's like the soundtrack almost is kind of meme status too. Like M2M, Don't Say You Love Me.
Yes. At my graduation, there was a senior prank. The music that was supposed to play at our graduation didn't play in one of the Pokemon movie soundtrack songs.
Which one?
Was there a vacation song?
It was by Vitamin C.
Okay,
vacation,
it was that song.
Vacation where I wanna be.
Wasn't
party
it,
on the beach where the fun is free.
Didn't she have a song about graduation, Vitamin C?
Yes, and I think that might have tied into the confusion, but what played was the vacation song.
Wow.
And that did play from Pikachu's Vacation. That's where that was from.
Yeah. I feel like the tears of Pokemon is, you know, it sounds sad, but for me that's almost kind of a meme of this movie, too. I don't know about a meme, but definitely
something that... I see that pop up online all the time. I think it's low-key meme status.
Yeah, I mean, I know you and I, Spike, have definitely joked about it in some of our yearly viewings.
So, let's see. So, basically, this whole movie gets undone. Mewtwo ends up erasing everybody's memories of the events of the movie, which is a super cop-out. Of course, Mewtwo is super moved by Ash, you know, being willing to die for his Pokemon. It's all very basic. That's kind of it. I mean, we get to see another shot of Mew, and, you know, obviously Ash wants Mew hella bad to catch Mew hella bad. Team Rocket's, like, on New Island. Like, we don't even know how we got here, but I guess we're gonna have a fun time. I don't know. It's a pretty weightless movie. In case you can't tell, I have a great affection for this movie, but I also mock it mercilessly.
Oh,
I'd
so
like to hear from you guys. Slidekick, so what do you think of Pokemon the First Movie?
So you feel about Pokemon the First Movie the same way you feel about me?
No, he said
no,
he
I
likes
the
this.
First movie.
Oh, damn. Double burn.
So,
you gonna need a burn heal, son.
Oh, he just lost 10% of his attack bonus.
you know, it's definitely... I'd be interested to see if it's a little bit more palatable in Japanese, because, you know, I've definitely found that watching Sun and Moon in Japanese, I'm enjoying it a lot in a lot more sincere way than I typically enjoy the anime. That being said, compared to how kind of terrible some of the movies got, this one was pretty epic at the time. You know, you got to... Because the thing is that, you know, you got to see in the Pokemon anime, like, Mewtwo in his battle armor, like, a very quick shot of him at Giovanni's gym. So it was kind of, like, you know, hyped up and everything. There was the... And I just remember, like, there was the Ancient Mew trading card promo. And so I just have a lot of fond memories. My friends and I cut school that day. We didn't cut. Like, you know, we... my mom took us.
Did you cut or didn't you cut?
I mean, we didn't go to school, but we, like, my mom
knew
about
it. So you cut.
My mom knew about it, so.
That does not make it a cut. That's a cut. HM1, you cut.
Yeah, we HM1 school, and, yeah, so. But my enjoyment is more with Pikachu's Vacation, and just the weird transitions that are, like, psychedelic, like, Bellsprout.
Okay, well, you could hold that for when we talk about Pikachu's Vacation in a second. The question was, what do you think about Pokemon the First Movie?
It hype.
Sulker, what do you think of Pokemon the First Movie?
So, unlike certain people here, I went and saw it opening night with my family because, one, I don't cut school until college, and then
okay.
I cut school all the time.
I'm going to have to say I'm with Psychic on this one. I cut school to see this movie opening day, and I did not tell my mom, so I'm also bad.
Well, I took my nieces so that it looked like I was being a good uncle taking them to go see a Pokemon movie when really I just wanted to go see the Pokemon movie. So I had a lot of fun with it, except that we went kind of late, so I had to sit in the front row, and it was awful in that way, but
front
still, like...
the best row.
No, because you can't really see what's happening on the screen in the first row, but that's a thing. But, like, the tears of a Pokemon, like, I wasn't crying. My nieces were crying. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, buddy.
But that's my thought on this movie. I thought it was fun. You know, crying and all.
All right, well, then I also want to talk a little bit about Pikachu's Vacation. This is, of course, the animated short film that played theatrically before Mewtwo Strikes Back. It's also included on the home media releases of Mewtwo Strikes Back. It's kind of trippy. It's just, what, like, 22 minutes or something? And basically, Ash, Misty, and Brock leave their Pokemon at a Poke theme park. Something that's interesting about this, though, is that it had Gen 2 Pokemon in it.
Yeah.
At a time that, you know, Gen 2 Pokemon wasn't really a game thing yet.
I mean, so did the first movie, though, so...
Yeah, but that was just Togepi, right?
No, they also had, not a Fanfee, the one that it evolves into.
Oh, a Donphan, yeah, in
yeah,
the that, first battle.
Yeah, Ash fights Donphan.
Oh, wow. I see. I mostly took note during Pikachu's Vacation of the fact that, you know, we get Togepi, but we also get Meryl and a Snubbull, which I think was the first time for a lot of us really seeing Snubbull or Meryl, who at the time a lot of us were calling Pika Blue. So basically, the Pokemon all get into, like, sports competitions. Eventually, Ash's Charizard gets his head stuck in a pipe, and all of the Pokemon, including, like, some bully Pokemon, all have to work together to get Charizard free. But this movie is probably most notable for the fact that every 2 minutes or so, it cuts to these bizarre interstitials of Pokemon saying their name and doing something crazy, and then, like, either slowly walking off screen or just cutting off. It's, like, something out of, like, Laugh-In or something. Like, very much like an old TV comedy variety show type thing. And that is probably where it came up earlier earlier when Sulker had mentioned that during Pikachu's vacation, he could imagine someone asking what kind of drugs they should be taking.
Yeah.
Slykick, what do you think of Pikachu's vacation?
I think it's fun. I probably prefer the little shorts where the Pokemon interact and are just like, Pika Pika, Meryl, 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 Snobble, Snobble, Snobble. Just because there's less ways for them to crappily dub it.
To be edgelords.
And I just, like, I mean, that combined with the weird things that, like, the slow poke going, It's just like, I mean, it never fails to tickle my funny bone.
Indeed. And Sulker?
It's cute. I like it. Actually, since I watched the iTunes version of the movie, I didn't get to watch this again, so that made me upset, which, like, why not include all the things that's part of the movie? Damn it, iTunes.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, so that's $15 just for Mewtwo. Cool. But yeah, no, I think that Pikachu's Vacation's fun. Like, definitely used to sing the vacation song a lot with my high school friends, because we were nerds. So yeah. Oh, jumping back real quick to, like, the fact that Gen 2 Pokies were in this and in the movie. Did anyone else catch that trainer that Ash fought in Mewtwo the movie had, like, a pirate headband that looked like it should have belonged to
Archie?
Yeah, except that it was red.
Oh, no, I hadn't.
Yeah, so it was like they were doing an Aqua Magma Cross thing.
All right.
Hoenn confirmed.
Hoenn confirmed. All right, well, if all that has been said, I think it's time for us to talk about our Pokemon of the week. So, Sulker, the floor is yours.
Surprisingly, I heard you like Mudkips. Mudkip is our Pokemon of the week. Mizugoru is a water-type Pokemon introduced in Generation 3. It evolves into Marshtomp at level 16 and evolves into Swampert starting at level 36. Along with Treecko and Torchic, Mudkip is one of these three starters of Hoenn, available at the beginning of Pokemon Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald, Omega Ruby, and Alpha Sapphire. Pokemon number 258, Mudfish Pokemon. Fire Red, its large tail fin propels it through water and with powerful acceleration. It is strong in spite of its size.
And that was the
Fire
Pokédex Fire Red entry for Mudkip.
Mudkip is a small, amphibious, quadruped Pokémon. It has a blue body with a light blue underside. It has a large head with a blue fin on top and light blue tail fin. It has black, beady eyes and orange star-shaped gills on its cheeks. By using the fin on its head, Mudkip is able to detect changes in air and water currents as well as bodies of water. Its fin can also point in a certain direction as seen in the anime. Mudkip is capable of moving or crushing boulders larger than itself. Its large tail fin propels it through water with powerful acceleration. I'm memeing in this description here because it's repeating back. So major anime appearances, we've got Brock's Mudkip, of course, which evolved into a Marshtomp later on in the series, in a Mudkip mission. And there's also, oh, so yeah, and then it evolves in a chip off the old Brock, which, clever wordplay there, go American Pokemon sub, I guess, or dub. Mudkip first appeared in Get the Show on the Road when May asked to use a Pokemon to attack some Poochyena, only for Mudkip to use Water Gun on May. Later on, when May asked to pick her starter Pokemon, she didn't pick Mudkip after it refused to do what May asked. Rude. A Mudkip that belonged to Professor Birch appeared in a six-pack attack.
Did that take place on Fire Island?
It certainly did not, but thank you for asking. But they were admired by Max when Team Rocket captured them along with other Hoenn and Kanto starters. It also has a bunch of minor appearances in Gonna Rule the School, Now That's Flower Power, also Off the Beaten Path, and a bunch of other episodes. With all that having been said, I believe we do have link cables, but first, a follow-up to our Pokemon TCG Booster Pack giveaway. So following up from last week, or last episode, we were giving away a Pokemon TCG Online card game code card to the first listener to tweet at stabcast.org.
At stabcast.org.
The phrase, trainers that start with S. And they would receive a Sun and Moon Booster Pack for the online card game. game. Drum roll for the winner. Nobody drum rolled.
I don't know how to drum roll.
But that's fine because nobody responded. So we'll be returning next time with another giveaway and hopefully a follow-up to that. With all that having
trainers
been
that
said,
start with S. I won.
No. Link cables.
All right. Well, we have two Poke memes from JD that we had asked. This week, we'll be talking about Poke memes. What are some of your favorites? The first one that JD tweeted at us was psalm lyric puns, and tweeted an image of, I'm not going to write you a love song. And then also says, top percentage of Rattata is another good one. So thank you for your tweets, JD. If you would like to tweet at us, you can tweet at us at stabcast.org with the .org spelled out D-O-T-O-R-G.
At stabcast.org with the D-O-T-O-R-G.
.org spelled out D-O-T-O-R-G.
And you can also get us on Facebook at facebook.com/stabcast.org. Same spelling. And we love your subscriptions, ratings, and reviews on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher Radio. You can email us at mail@stabcast.org.
Mail@stabcast.org.
And you can visit us at our home base, stabcast.org.
Stabcast.org.
Spike.
All right, I want to do my shout-outs. I first off want to generically shout-out to the Voice of Geeks Network over at vognetwork.com. I'd also like to shout-out to some shows you can listen to over there, including the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
Where myself and Slagkick talk about left-of-center video game news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be twice monthly. If you like what we do over here, you'll like what we do over there. You should also check out the Ranger Pridecast. That is, of course, where myself and Shane Olenko talk about the current season of the Power Rangers meta series, as well as the current season of the Super Sentai meta series upon which it's based. Saigi, what about you? Who would you like to shout out to?
Ooh, girl, the library is open over at Reading is Fundamental, the podcast for myself, Trainer Spike, Delvin from the VG Realness podcast, and Rob Roberts from the Voice of Geeks Network and Orange Lounge Radio, which I'll shout out in a minute, serve tea and dish on everything RuPaul's Drag Race, hon, tea. We're wrapping up our coverage of season 9 of the show and having a lot of fun. Some of those lip sync battles are kind of like intense Pokemon battles, you know it. And of course, I'd like to shout out to Orange Lounge Radio, which is over on VogNetwork.com, where every gamer has a voice and to who we basically owe our podcasting existence. They're an award-winning podcast, one of the longest-running, actually, I believe the longest-running radio show on the internet about video games. You can join them live on Sunday nights at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com. I'd also like to shout out to the sister show of Game Buoy, and as an extension, the sister show of Stab as well, and that's Anime Buoy, your port of call for anime recommendations that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. Sulker.
It's Super Effective, PKM and Cast, a Pokemon website for news and reviews that explore the ins and outs of the Pokemon franchise, covering the games, anime, and beyond, all this at a weekly podcast. Mythical Mazes and Magikarps, taking two of the best aspects of geek life, GM Whitewing hosts a troop of unlikely heroes as they explore the Pokemon world of the past with classic D&D classes and villains. Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is a trusted healthcare provider, an informed educator, a passionate advocate, and a global partner helping similar organizations around the world. Planned Parenthood delivers vital reproductive healthcare, sex education, and information to millions of men, women, and young people worldwide. The Trevor Project, founded in 1998 by the creator of the Academy Award-winning short film Trevor, the Trevor Project is a leading national organization providing crisis intervention and suicide prevention services to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning young people ages 13 through 24. And I believe, Slagkick, we have music.
We have music. It's great. Our theme music is Professor Sycamore's theme by Nathan Sharp, a.k.a. Nate Wants to Battle. You should support him on YouTube, iTunes, all of those places. He does great anime and video games. Game covers, parodies, lots of great music, and so go support them.
All right, Poke fans, with all that having been said, that's about it for our show this week. I want to thank you all out there in Internet Radio Land for spending this lovely Saturday afternoon with us. I hope you've had half as much fun listening as we've had talking. We'll be back at you in a week or two, but until then, keep catching.
Keep catching.
Keep training.
Keep training.
Keep training.
And it's Pikachu.
Anata wa Mizugoru ga sukida to kita.
Without meat or vegetables, that's just a plate of iron.
Fuck!
Alola?
Alola!
Mics are hot.
Hot mics, hot mics. Get your hot mics.
Hey, girl. How you do?
Magic mic.
In the last battle, 13, a weeping bell something something that didn't happen. Please edit this out. I know you'll think it's cute and funny, but you're going to delete it this time. Right, Spike? Because I'm calling it out here in length, and I know that you hate it when this show runs long. So you can either keep me ranting here in what is like a podcast filibuster, or you can keep it for humor.
Oh, speak in your mic for me?
For you? Why not?
Psychic, speak in your mic?
Not for you.
Alola?
Alola! Alola. Alola.
Fuck!